Hello and welcome to Rate My League Preview Show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Lucas Brecht, and today we are looking at Golden Empire. Standard scoring, Dynasty, 12-team IDP League. Rob bought the show. Thank you so much to Rob for getting this all set up. I think it's the fifth year for Golden Empire, something like that. First of all, it's our last show. This is it. This is our last show of the year. It's been a crazy season for Rate My League. It was our best IDP year ever, I think.
We felt busy. It was good.
Yeah, we did more, but we also had like was there a 32 teamer? I think.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A 32 teamer, and yeah, I think there was multiple like 24 team leagues, something like that. Yeah, so a very big IDP season. So that's cool to see. More IDP leagues jumping in. And, of course, Rob has Get a Life and Golden Empire. Both of those are IDP leagues. So it's fun to see these leagues for sure, especially since we've seen these leagues so many times at this point. It's worth noting that tackles do count in this league. We had a little issue with that in the Get a Life show. Apologies for that one. There's a little confusion about tackles and the fact that they didn't score points in Get a Life. But tackles are a point here, so we get points for that. We have 8 starters, 1 quarterback, 1 running back, 1 wide receiver, 1 tight end, 1 kicker, 3 flex plays, and then on IDP, 1 defensive lineman, 1 linebacker, 1 DB, 1 IDP flex as well. We have 3 divisions here, the Dan Fouts division, the Bill Bates division, and the George Allen division, so that's kind of fun. I feel like that I don't remember those division names from previous years, so maybe they change up the player names, maybe?
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know. Let's see. They know how it works. We don't have to get into that. In a 12-team, 1-quarterback league, we convert consensus rankings into auction figures. This will, an average roster with these settings should come out to about $200 on offense. And then on defense, it's only 4 starters, and it's standard, sort of standard IDP. So I'm thinking an average IDP situation is going to be about, I don't know, $50, something like that. So again, just keep that in mind as we move through here. Okay, let's get going. Lots to talk about. Number 12, the best around. Dead last roster, number 12 in total starter redraft value, thanks in part to a number 11 ranked wide receiver group that does not have a top 30 consensus redraft wide receiver on the roster. We're hoping Rome Odunze can get to a top 30 ranking this year. That would be great. He is obviously extremely important to this team. And I will say, Jacoby Myers and Cedric Tillman both had good week ones for this squad. So, you know, that's at least something. That said, it's really Rome Odunze who's got to be. He's still, of all these guys, like the most likely to be a top 10 stud sometime in the future.
Yeah, I mean, that's really starting to push to his ceiling. I feel like Odunze is really going to kind of fall into that complimentary piece. You really want him to be your Robin, not your Batman, I think, when you're trying to push to be competitive. And I think the team kind of at least recognized his shortfall when we kind of look at what they did in the draft, right? 206, they took Jack Betch. 209, they took Luther Burden. I realize he's on Chicago as well, but I feel like that's pretty nice value. We saw Burden slip a lot in drafts, but that's one of the later ones I saw him go. So both those kind of come together, and at least knowing that you're going to get yourself a little bit of an influx of, you know, some future value. Hopefully one of these guys can kind of turn it on a little bit. Like you mentioned, Tillman and Myers both have a scoring upside, maybe more of things you want to get out the door rather than something you want to kind of build a foundation around. And I'll even throw Darnell Mooney into that pool as well as somebody who, when he comes back healthy, if that offense in Atlanta kind of starts to churn a little bit, he has been a guy who can pop off and have some big weeks. If we're going to talk about something that's nice about this team, I think we'll just jump right to quarterback. Obviously, it's the one thing I think they have situated well. You're sitting on Jaden Daniels, QB3 on Fantasy Pros still. I think that's it may be a little bit rays of sunshine, but we did see him show himself again as a very strong quarterback in a fantasy format. So that looks nice. I don't know if they needed to draft Shedeur Sanders in a 1-quarterback league at 301. I think looking at some other deficiencies, there was probably some better value on the board there.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's one of those things with Matt Stafford and Anthony Richardson as the backups.
Yeah, not a lot behind him.
Yeah, you're feeling a little iffy for sure. I should also mention tight end is dead last in the league with Pat Freiermuth as the number one, although Juwan Johnson had a good week one, so maybe he's the new tight end one on this roster. 25.4 average starter rates. They are gaining some dynasty value, although they stay in the dead last dynasty slot for the rankings there. Odunze, the big dynasty gainer. Would you dispute me in saying Rome Odunze is the most important player on this team?
Yeah, I think from a building perspective, absolutely. I mean, you could maybe argue that Jaden Daniels has been a one quarterback league. I never really want to put that much onus on the position. I think from a strategic standpoint, it could be Chase Brown. You could argue that he's a player who you could get some decent return capital on in a trade. I think that might be something you kind of need to discuss. Not Brown being an ancient player by any stretch of the imagination, but even at 25, you're starting to get a little bit scared, and we can kind of address that this team, this is not a one-year fix. This is a couple years you're going to need to make some moves. Obviously didn't have any first-round draft picks, but now have a first round in the 2026 and have their 2027 suite as well. If you could get something for Chase Brown, that could really kind of maybe leapfrog this as you turn Odunze into your cornerstone.
Average IDP here, number 7. Any thoughts?
I mean, it's a nice grouping, honestly. Like, Grenard, Danielle Hunter were both good. The Jalen Walker pick at 501 feels okay. Pretty strong at safety overall as well with Buda Baker, another player you could probably shop to someone needing a little bit of DB help. But all in all, it's a position that you're going to kind of, all three of those positions are going to be the thing you fix once your team's kind of on its way to winning games. So not something you really need to address too seriously at this point.
Yeah, I mean, at least on offense, they're on the younger side, 25.4, gaining some dynasty value. Again, generally like a decent offseason here with the draft and everything, generally moving in the right direction. But boy, oh boy, there is a long, long way to go, ultimately. Team score, 3.96, helmet stickers, gravity assist, gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Vibram Five Fingers, worst rated tight end position. But let's play this one, Bagheads.
Hi guys, it's Taylor Bisciotti from NFL Network. And this team right here is so bad that it reminds me of the Houston Oilers football team where fans used to put bags over their heads at the games. Honestly, it's so bad, it kind of offends me.
There you go, friend of the pod from NFL Network. Taylor Bisciotti, offended by the best around. Number 11, One-Eyed Pugs. One-Eyed Pugs. Number 7 in total redraft value, number 6 in starter redraft value, which is to say, Luke, this is a team that for 2025, if we're not thinking too much about the future, if we're just thinking about this year, there are some playoff hopes here. They got Joe Burrow at quarterback. Jordan Love is a very nice backup quarterback to have. And then at wide receiver, that's the strength of the team. Drake London, T. Higgins, Cortland Sutton. They have Chris Olave on the bench. Normally I wouldn't be talking about DeAndre Hopkins, but he did catch a touchdown in week one, so I guess I should at least mention him as well. But really, it's about those top four here. London, Higgins, Sutton, Olave. What are your thoughts on that group?
I mean, it's decent. It keeps you competitive if that's what your team is looking to do. And I mean, I think just the elephant in the room is this is our last place future draft capital team, so kind of got to do it, right? I mean, you're sitting on just your 2026 second. There's not a lot of reinforcements coming. You've kind of pushed yourself into this position already. You would hope to see a little bit higher strength from the IDP if you really want to go for it. Maybe you can make some cheap acquisitions from that standpoint. But yeah, I think you've kind of nailed it. The wide receivers, it's strength. Obviously, Burrow, Love, Darno, and Rodgers. You've got too many starters for a one quarterback league, but that's fine. Maybe you can turn some value there. The problem being, those two pieces are nice, but if you really want to be competitive, you need to be able to produce consistent running back scoring, and it's just going to be a little bit tough. Chuba Hubbard, I think you're feeling a little bit better about overall. You can probably get some running back two scoring out of him with a couple swings of the pendulum to running back one. David Montgomery, I mean, we saw the entire Detroit Lions offense kind of struggle. Obviously, whenever you lose your offensive coordinator and a Pro Bowl center, it's going to change the run game for your team a little bit. We're hoping it's more of a hiccup, but if that offense really does kind of start to struggle, they're going to end up leaning on Gibbs more than anything, and that could really end up just killing this team if Montgomery ends up becoming a real secondary player.
Yeah, number 10 running back group in redraft value, number 11 in dynasty value. this is going to be a long-term issue for the team. And it didn't help that they didn't have a pick in the first three rounds this year either. You mentioned dead last future draft capital, but no picks in rounds 1, 2, or 3 in 2025. All just compounds to sort of impact the certainly the running back group here. I will say, while they didn't have a pick in the first three rounds, they did get maybe Jacksonville's RB2 in round 7 with LaQuint Allen out of nowhere. Somehow, some way, he seemed to be the main guy behind Travis Etienne. I don't know how that all works out. I don't know if that's how it's going to keep playing out with Bashaud Tutin there. They did trade Tank Bigsby, so obviously the Jags felt comfortable enough with LaQuint Allen being in their top three at running back because they traded away Tank Bigsby. Let's see. IDP, number 10, you kind of mentioned it in passing. It's not the strongest IDP group, which kind of matters for a team that maybe has some designs on the playoffs this year.
Right, and it's serviceable. I mean, Trayvon Walker, we've really seen, he didn't have a very great week one, but we have seen him kind of start to push into that echelon of being a good sack player who can kind of be a very complimentary piece in IDP, but he's not going to be a positional winner. He's not going to be a game winner for you. Frankie Louvu, Jermaine Pratt, both fine options, I think, will get you a fairly good amalgamation of tackles between the two of them. And Xavier McKinney, you at least have a DB you feel good about. So it's not that it's bad. It's just 10th feels about right when you don't really have any top five players outside of McKinney. And DB is where I'm going to look last from kind of identifying how strong an IDP is. It's fine. It's really hard because, like, I don't want to – you kind of are scheduled to try to make the playoffs here, so – it's hard to say just wait and see, but if you push what little future draft capital you have out the door with that kind of on the bubble, it can be a really risky move.
The other note here, this team is number 9 in dynasty value on the offensive side, 27.6 average starter age. Sutton losing big dynasty value here. So you combine the dead last future draft capital and the number 9 dynasty group, and that's why this team falls to number 11 in the power rankings. 4.05 is the team score. Let's play this one. Construct additional pylons.
You must construct additional pylons.
For having the least future draft capital. Number 10, Beagles. Beagles traded for Justin Herbert in the offseason. So they are winners. One game. We just needed to see one game. And now we can declare this team an offseason winner. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fine price to pay in a 2026 and a round 3 pick. I think that you had to believe in Justin Herbert. That's pretty chalky, kind of what his kind of price is. But yeah, we saw some proof in the pudding. They threw the football more than I think anybody really expected. And when your existing quarterbacks were Trevor Lawrence and Geno Smith, finding something that's an improvement on that wasn't exactly a large bar to kind of get over. So I think it's a good move for the team. I mean, we don't necessarily have them as a team who's pushing for the playoffs with that kind of total redraft ranking of 9. But Herbert's got a long longevity and shelf life on him where I can't say the same for Trevor Lawrence or Geno Smith. So that is nice from that perspective.
And there's a world where if Herbert is pushing into the top, what, 6 or 7 fantasy quarterbacks, if they can get RJ Harvey as a rookie to be a consistent starter for them. We did see Debo Samuel kind of play closer to perhaps his 49ers role than people were thinking he was going to play. So it was like wide receiver 2, maybe that works out. Like, there's a world where this team, despite being ranked number 9 in total redraft value and, oh, by the way, number 11 in starter redraft value, there's a world where they could push for the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you even want to push it even further, we saw a nice game out of Michael Pittman. If Daniel Jones stays the quarterback, I think you could feel a little bit more confident about how his targets are going to look. Mark Andrews did not have a good game, but we did see a very prolific Ravens offense. That's kind of a nice thing to look at as well. So there are, you can squint and really you can see how this could work out quite well. And then the running back situation, like you mentioned, RJ Harvey, Devon Achane, obviously the Dolphins are becoming just like, we all need to just go give Mike McDaniel a hug. He needs it. The Dolphins need it. DeAndre Swift, we didn't see a great game out of him in Chicago, unfortunately. I think that could be a bit of a question of concern, but did see glimpses out of Caleb Williams, and maybe that offense can turn into something. So I think you're right. I do think there's some pretty nice pieces.
How
do you feel about RJ Harvey at 105?
Well, I was going to say it's a little funny that we're on the third team we're looking at, and this is the first time we've seen a first round draft pick the first two teams did not have a first round draft pick.
You could call that a life lesson, Andy. Yeah, that could be.
RJ Harvey at 1.05. It's definitely early for RJ Harvey. I feel like, having done this league multiple years now, I feel like we do see running backs going early. I think that's a consistent trend. It's standard scoring, so that's going to impact things. Even within that framework, I think 1.05 is a bit early for Harvey. He had, I think, one good run in week one, and everything else was just kind of blah for him, but the one good run gave him a solid game overall. I think it was, didn't he have like a 50-yarder?
Yeah, he had big yardage, and then we saw the touchdown out of J.K. Dobbins. So kind of a give and take on how that's going to go, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, look, there's a reason this team is ranked towards the bottom. They're number 11 in starter redraft value. They have some interesting depth here, but the starters definitely leave a bit to be desired. You know, again, consensus is saying they only have one wide receiver in the top 35 in consensus value. Consensus is saying they only have one running back in the top 20. And, of course, Devon Achane is a guy who gets hurt by standard scoring perhaps more than any other running back in the league. He falls to number 11 in consensus standard scoring, whereas I think he's, what, 6 in consensus PPR half point per reception. So, yeah, this is not an ideal situation in 26.3 average starter age. They're holding their dynasty value. I think they could push for a playoff spot if a few things go right this year. But at the same time, I don't see a ceiling that extends much past, well, they could sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think switching to the IDP side of things, we have them ranked dead last, and that is definitely not something you want to see. They're carrying a very light group, and that would drop anybody down, even if you were carrying very good players. This team is not, however, and I think it's a little bit of a risky move, obviously. Cam Hayward and Tyler Newbin are probably the only two guys I really would consider keeping. Josie Jewell, you got to be able to find a better linebacker on waivers. I can guarantee it. And then you should probably be trying to find another safety, being a league that scores tackles. Probably try to get away from taking cornerbacks unless you really feel like you have kind of a sweet spot. And fantasy football is always strange that way. And the sweet spot of a cornerback is you want someone who is fairly bad in the way that they get targeted enough they have opportunity. And that's always kind of a very fine line.
4.28 is the team score. The stash rostering Gardner Minshew. But let's play this one. 10-ply.
You're fucking 10-ply, bud.
For having the worst rated IDP situation in the league. Number 9, Orlando Ballers. Orlando Ballers here. So they made a trade. I didn't actually. Everything has to be done by hand for this league because it's a CBS league. So I noticed that they did make a trade today, I believe. I didn't actually put it into the system because it wasn't going to impact anything in a big way. But we should at least mention it. They gave up Harold Fannin after a tremendous week one game. They get back Isaiah Likely and Rashid Shaheed. I mean, this is a trade that if it happened last week, we would have been like, oh, that's pretty good value. But after week one, how quickly do you come off of your sort of preseason opinions on guys?
I mean, I'm willing to sell high pretty early. I've been having a lot of discussions about Harold Fannin in some group chats, so I'm pretty primed to discuss this. I've seen him go for much, much higher already. A lot of people have been getting pretty close to a second-end change in value. I'm not quite sure that's what I would call Isaiah Likely, so I think you got a little light on it. But it's fine to sell on hype, right? Because, I mean, as much as we liked Harold Fannin's overall production, it was in the MAC, it was at Bowling Green, so the 1,500 yards doesn't matter as much. I'd hate Cleveland, so to get off that feels okay. The return is not amazing, so I think that could maybe make you a little bit sad long-term. Because it's always better to at least overextend what you receive just in case Harold Fannin becomes something insane. But
yeah, if they tacked on a draft pick, like a late second rounder projected kind of draft pick out of that, I think that would make sense there. I like Isaiah Likely, obviously. I think he can be a contributor once he comes back from injury, especially, as you mentioned, like Mark Andrews didn't have a great game. We've been seeing sort of a decline from him. If maybe this is the year Likely does take over, we don't know. So that could be a big spot. So I get the ceiling for that It just feels like value-wise, they could have done a little bit better. Number 11 in total redraft value, number 10 in starter redraft value, but gets Tet at 1.11. As I mentioned, running backs going early. We saw R.J. Harvey at 1.05. It pushes some of these wide receivers down. Standard scoring. I feel like we've seen this exact type of thing in previous years with this league, so I'm not shocked by it, but Tet at 1.11, oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of also shows in Tutin going 205 kind of comes into the story as well. And then the other good value pick that I think you and I both noticed immediately is Colson Loveland at 207 feels great. I mean, that feels amazing. He's automatically looking like the best tight end on this team, unless Brenton Strange can really kind of turn into something. So I think overall, I think this team had a very excellent draft. Everything kind of flowed their way. Fairly major trade, I should say, sending Breece Hall out, though.
Yes.
Picking up DK Metcalf, picked up that 111, which they turned into Tet. That's obviously very nice. 102 going out the door as well, though, feels a little bit steep, in my opinion.
Yeah, so they fall back 9 spots to turn Breece. They fell back 9 spots to turn Breece Hall into DK Metcalf?
Yeah. And, like, you can convince me that against Breece Hall pretty easily at this point. I mean, we saw better than I would have expected in week one. Obviously, Justin Fields, a quarterback on this team as well, played phenomenal. I mean, you can't. It was going back and rewatching his film. He was great. Everything about his week was amazing. Can he do it consistently? Has always kind of been the issue with Justin Fields in the NFL. So that is a little bit interesting, but if he doesn't, then all of a sudden Breece Hall becomes a little bit of a question mark and a liability. DK Metcalf also had a nice week. I think if you want to kind of give it some spin, him and Aaron Rodgers looked like they had at least a little bit of chemistry working early.
Number 11 in total redraft value here, number 10 in starter redraft value. Definitely a team that's sort of probably looking in at the playoff picture unless, you know, the Justin Fields parade of fantasy points continues. It could just be enough. Because he was epic in week one there. 26.1 average starter age. They're losing some small dynasty value. They stay at number 11 for the dynasty ranking. Calvin Ridley, the big dynasty loser here. Number 3 IDP. It's a very solid IDP situation.
Yeah, it's a, in my opinion. I mean, you've got an excellent defensive end, Max Crosby. Alex Highsmith's a perfect follow-up, very underrated defensive end. One of the better PFF-ranked defensive ends over the last couple years and had a great week one. Zach Bond looked awesome. As an Eagles fan, I was pretty stressed out about a heavy contract. He just looked phenomenal again, so I think you're going to have an excellent tackle guy there. And then when you end up rolling in Kyle Hamilton at safety, you have a pretty good situational advantage. So this is going to be one of those IDPs that builds a safer floor that will maybe make up for a little bit of deficiency in the offensive side of things.
Are you trading this IDP talent out the door? I mean, this offense doesn't really, on paper, support that.
It doesn't scream it. I mean, it depends what Justin Fields does, I guess. If Justin Fields really rides high for you and we see Tet kind of push early. Yeah, otherwise I think Max Crosby out the door could make a lot of sense. Zach Bond out the door could make a lot of sense. And then, yeah, I mean, maybe hold on to Kyle Hamilton based on age. But honestly, anytime I can trade IDP, I'm usually happy to do so.
4.47 is the team score. Let's play this one brand new. For having the, well, they are tied for the most projected rookie starters here. Well, obviously Colson Loveland and Tet is two, right? I don't think I'm missing anyone. I think they have two projected rookie starters here. Gets them tied for most projected rookie starters. Number 8, Briggins. Briggins trades away Justin Herbert in the offseason. Didn't love that deal. They traded away Brian Thomas Jr. in the offseason. They give up the 1.08. I don't have that pick in front of me, so I'm not sure exactly
Tyler
what
they... Tyler Warren.
Okay, so they give up Tyler... Yeah, oh, right. I do have that here. Tyler
Warren.
They got
Tyler Warren, yeah.
So they get Tyler Warren. So that saves it somewhat, maybe. I mean, he looked... He looked like he was ready to go, Tyler Warren. So maybe they feel okay about that deal. But in a vacuum, if you just told me they traded Brian Thomas Jr. for the 1.08 and Adonai Mitchell, I would not be okay with that.
No, I mean, if we graded it off week one, right, we saw Brian Thomas Jr. catch 1 of 7 targets. Pretty much nothing outside of that carry looked good. And yeah, like you mentioned, Tyler Warren looked phenomenal. So I think, yeah, if we just graded on last week, owner's pretty happy, but it's super risky. And, you know, it's a little bit of a value kind of thing. And like we've mentioned, this league clearly does not put a huge onus on wide receiver. So maybe that does make things a little bit easier overall. But when we look at the wide receiver position now, after Brian Thomas Jr. leaves, it's not good. We've got him number 12 in redraft, number 12 in dynasty. They used 104 to take Travis Hunter, which I believe when we looked at the CBS rankings for the last league we did for them, Travis Hunter's only a wide receiver. He doesn't receive that dual eligibility. And if he doesn't, that's a big stretch. Like we watched Tet go 111. I want Tet over Travis Hunter unless Travis Hunter can play an IDP slot for me. If he can play an IDP slot for me, you can talk about Travis Hunter being a top two pick. But if he's stuck at wide receiver, it's not worth it. He's a very good player, but Tetro McMillan is a better wide receiver than Travis Hunter is. I'll stand on that hill all day.
I'm going to disagree somewhat. I think we don't know what the finished product or perhaps I should say like the prime product is for Travis Hunter. I think his analytics as a wide receiver are as good as anybody's, including Tet McMillan's. So, you know, like I think what Tet provides in an IDP league where you are getting points for IDP regardless of whatever position he has to play, what you get with him is a ceiling that is I don't think people respect the ceiling of what he can give you to the point where it's like potentially league breaking. If he's giving you, and I know like this is the ceiling. I'm not saying
three tackles, right? Yeah, like he gets a 3 to 5 tackle game.
Right, to go along with like 80 receiving yards. Like he suddenly becomes, like you can just sort of look at the end of the year rankings. If he's like wide receiver 20, and again, not this year, but like down the road. If he's wide receiver 20 and like cornerback 100, well, all of a sudden he's like wide receiver 5. If you're playing him in the wide receiver slot. So is that possible? I think it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know if it's likely. But I think what you get with Hunter is this like is the ceiling play that could win you a league one year. Where Tet, I mean, I like Tet. I don't know if he's ever gonna be like a top 5 wide receiver.
That's reasonable. Yeah, I think that's a good take about it. And the other thing I will say is this one thing that we kind of always ran into every time we were doing these shows in the summer is that Travis Hunter is such a unicorn. He is the more fun play. And we play fantasy football for fun. And if he hits, like you've mentioned, that's just way more fun than saying, oh, the wide receiver that I drafted was good. So from that aspect, I get that as well. Not a lot of depth behind Hunter. It's Jaden Higgins, Romeo Doubs, Jalen Noel. So they double tapped into the Houston wide receivers at 202 and 311. I think that feels fine. I can feel this owner being like, you guys are spending so much time talking about everything but my running backs. Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Travis Etienne looked great. So now you've got a three-headed monster potentially, especially with Tank Bigsby out the door.
Yeah,
that's where you're going to hang your hat, right?
If Etienne is doing that consistently, and I'm not even saying like 143 yards.
Like RB2 numbers.
Like right, that. Like looking really good, like a top 10 running back. Suddenly this is probably the best running back group in the league. And if you have the best running back group in a standard scoring league, you probably have a shot. It's potentially elite.
Yeah, I mean, Bijan and Gibbs obviously both kind of take a bit of a hit from not getting the PPR advantage, but still both such good running backs, even just in their kind of pure form, that it looks really good. I don't see a lot of real kind of weaknesses on this team outside of the wide receiver position. They're going to really need to see some things work, and maybe it is, I don't know, it's something I almost would go and address. Like when we talk about it, like this is a team where you've got that future draft capital, you've got your own suite of picks, you should probably go out there and get a wide receiver just based on the strength of your running back situation. You've got a pretty good looking tight end room between Njoku and Warren. You're probably gonna be starting Warren a fair bit just based on how things have gone week one. I think you kind of have to go for it because running back windows are just so tight. Even this young group of running backs, you still just kind of want to capitalize on it. You can't be like, well, hopefully my wide receivers get there, because Bo Nix is enough in a one quarterback league that I'm happy to go there. So just go buy yourself a wide receiver.
Yeah, like a Brian Thomas Jr. type, maybe. The bench is probably the biggest weakness overall. Like right now, Dylan Laub is, if that's how you pronounce it, is the primary bench running back. Jaden Higgins, the primary bench wide receiver. That's pretty iffy. 5.06 is the team score. Helmet stickers here. The Zune, worst rated wide receiver position. Gravity Assist gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Brand new, tied for most rookie stars. Let's play this one. Cool kids. For having the youngest projected starting lineup in the league, 25.2 overall, 24.4 on the offensive side. They're gaining $39 of dynasty value. They move up to number 7 in the dynasty rankings. Number 7, Wise Guys. Wise Guys. Trevion Henderson, Amika Igbuka. The draft is looking pretty nice right now.
Oh, yeah. Igbuka at 203 is just... Whew. I mean, I would have been excited. Having that happen in the draft, you would have been doing dances. And then all offseason, the hype, you would have been getting giddy. And then you get the payday week one with the 2 touchdowns. I mean, I don't think you can draw up a draft dream better than that. And the crazy part is Ibuka's like, hopefully you started him week one, because Amon-Ra St. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Devonta Smith, Ricky Purcell, like, you were looking at Ibuka and Purcell for your starters, and you're going, like, well, I don't know, because you probably started Devonta Smith on Thursday, and you were really sad. You definitely started Terry McLaurin because he had such a good year, and that was disappointing. So, oh, that's a really tough one. But moving forward, Ibuka's probably starting for you all week, every week, even though Ricky Purcell is the only healthy San Francisco 49er on the roster.
And he had a good game. I mean, Purcell had a pretty good game. Yeah. 4 catches, 108 yards. He had that long 45-yarder. But no touchdowns, obviously, in a standard scoring league. The 2 touchdowns for Igbuka, that would definitely have felt a little nice.
But no, I mean, that's obviously very good, right? Like, we like that from a redraft perspective, number 4. It's nice and young. It's good from a dynasty perspective, and number 4 as well. Trevion Henderson was just so desperately needed from this team. Makes sense at 103 to me. I just, yeah, you just had to lock in, had to go with someone. I think you made the right choice in Henderson. Unfortunately, there's not a heck of a whole lot behind it. Tank Bigsby is probably fully cooked now that he's in Philadelphia. Just as an Eagles fan, I do not think you're going to watch that guy touch the football much outside of special teams. Tyler Allgeier, maybe he can come back in and start stealing some of Bijan's juice every once in a while and give you some touchdown upside. But yeah, you needed Trevion Henderson, and then you need him to immediately continue to keep hitting the ground running, because that's the only thing really holding this offense back, I think. Like, I like the quarterback and tight end position enough, I think.
Yeah, well, okay, let's come back to that for a second. We should probably touch on the number 1 IDP group in the league.
Yep. That, if you want to talk about something that's going to carry up a floor and make up a difference, it's going to be whether you can have a strong group of linebackers to pick you up the tackles and a strong group of defensive ends to pick you up sacks. And you've nailed both those very deeply. Fred Warner's definitely everybody's favorite linebacker as far as the most talented. Was a little bit banged up. Bobby Okereke came in and was phenomenal in week on racking up the tackles. And then you've got Joey Bosa, who probably won you the week on his own between his sacks, his forced fumble, and his fumble recovery. Any kind of those big payoffs. You've got the number one linebacker group. It goes deep, even to Edrian Cooper. You've got the number one safety group with Anton Winfield, Derwin James, and rookie Malachi Starks. I mean, it's good all around. I'd say it's a little light on the defensive end. You're really riding on Nick Bosa and hoping that Chop Robinson's kind of analytics, which were very good last year, come into more stats this year.
As you mentioned, tight end also solid here with Sam Laporta. On the offensive side, it's 26.4 average starter age. They're gaining dynasty value here with Laporta, Igbuka, and Trevion Henderson. So not a surprise to see this team jump up from number 8 in total redraft value all the way to number 5 in total dynasty value. Yeah, this is absolutely a group that looks like they should be in the playoff hunt. If not this year, then certainly over the next couple of years, I'd expect to see this team sort of fighting for a playoff position. 5.2 is the team score. Helmet Sticker, Gravity Assist, gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Code Red, worst rated quarterback position. The Waterboy, highest rated IDP, rather. Let's play this one, the Ford Pinto.
And Pinto Strong, built to run and run and run. Pinto, a little better idea at your Ford dealer.
For the worst rated running back position in the league. Yeah, Trevion Henderson and a collar pull behind them. Number 6, Martians. Martian. It wasn't the Outkast album, ATL. Lions or something like that. It looks like that because the A is uppercase. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Number 6 in total redraft value, number 9 in starter value. This roster added in the draft Caleb Johnson at 1.06 and Matthew Golden at 1.07. Now, that Matthew Golden pick is...
At what cost?
Yeah, that Matthew Golden pick is... It is something because, first of all, it's Matthew Golden ahead of Tet McMillan. Like, let's not forget that part.
That's tough. That's tough on its own.
It's also a pick that was acquired by giving up Trey McBride. Trey McBride, tight end 2.
Yeah, everybody's tight end 2. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one. I don't think you're ever going to be happy with that unless Matthew Golden becomes a bona fide wide receiver 1 in fantasy scoring.
I will say, real quick, just to play devil's advocate, Trey McBride had what, like 2 touchdowns last year?
He did. Yep, he was very high volume.
And it's standard scoring, so they don't get they don't get any bonus for the reception. So it's just about the yards and the touchdowns. So, yeah. And he only had 2 touchdowns, so you know. Now,
which is the least, we will say touchdowns is the least sticky stat of all time. And that pendulum will swing, and you might watch him get 12 this year.
I'm not saying I would have done it. I'm just saying if I'm playing devil's advocate, I'd at least bring that up.
For sure. And then the secondary side of that, if we want to kind of lessen the burn, is it is a strong tight end room. Sans Trey McBride. They have TJ Hawkinson. They have Tucker Kraft. They have 2 pretty good tight ends already. This was a way to go into the draft and get yourself somebody good. I mean, yeah, we could talk about the questionable Matthew Golden side of it, but this was a team who probably did need some wide receiver help. When we look at Puka Nacua, obviously you feel good about, but then Tyreek Hill, Rashee Rice, and it was Xavier Leggett, Wandell Robinson, which neither of those guys is really awe-inspiring, although Leggett is the best interview in sports, so you always got that going for you. But yeah, Tyreek Hill, huge question mark. Obviously, domestic violence charges, or not charges, but allegations today coming up, which has just always been an issue with Tyreek Hill. There's always something going on with him outside of even poor production. And then Rashee Rice, obviously you knew a suspension was coming. So wide receiver needed to be addressed. Golden over Tet is a take, and they spent 0.7 seconds on the clock, so they didn't think about it. They knew who they wanted.
Yeah, that looks like a pick that was queued up. Pick that was queued up there. Let's see, where else do we want to go? 26.6 on offense. They gained some dynasty value. They stay at number 6, rather, for the dynasty value. I should say this is a team that, on paper, has some good depth. I mean, with the total redraft value being number 6, you can see at running back right now, Tracy, Caleb Johnson, Javonte Williams are technically all bench pieces. And oh, by the way, Bill is here as well.
4'11", nice pick. Yeah.
Might be a starter for them in short order. Trey Benson here on the bench for the running backs, a guy I think should be the starter for the Cardinals. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to like here.
Yeah, a fair amount of depth there, right? And then, obviously, in a 1 quarterback league, when you're anchored by Pat Mahomes, you're probably fine with him being your only quarterback. Obviously, injuries destroy you. The 1 bye week's probably an auto loss. But Patrick Mahomes, one of the healthier quarterbacks in recent memory as far as being able to play through the small stuff, and hasn't, luckily, knock on wood, had anything major. We'll see how that offense does. Was a little bit pedestrian again last week, and then has to go and have a tough game against Philadelphia this week. Kind of see how that goes, but yeah, I think that's a very interesting offense on the whole. A lot riding on Matthew Golden, both this year and moving forward. Yeah. From an IDP standpoint, they haven't done a ton with it. They're carrying a very light roster. Nick Bolton, they feel very strong about. Quay Walker is going to be your flex piece. Makes total sense. Hufanga, pretty questionable. Kind of hoping to see. Got decent production out of him last week. Whether you can kind of hold on to that job or not remains to be seen. Need to find improvement on Derek Hall if this team has playoff ambitions and wants to win some big games.
Team score, 5.25. Helmet sticker here. Just one of them will play it. Jacked.
Jacked.
I'm jacked. I'm jacked to the tits.
Good.
You feel it?
No.
For having the most future draft capital, Yes, they have an extra second rounder next year and an extra third rounder. Just not a ton of draft picks being moved in this league at this point, at least for the future. Although it's funny because a lot of 2025 picks were moved. So I guess maybe we'll see that over the course of the year play out. But right now, a lot of the 26 picks are still where they originally were slotted. Number five, Dezed and Confused. I have a question. What's worse, taking Jadon Blue at 1.09 or having their 4.07 pick skipped? Which is
Jadon Blue at 109. It's not close.
Over.
I mean, you can recover from missing a fourth. You can recover. Again, I mean, I don't know how many times you and I are going to say that McMillan was there at 111.
McMillan was there. I mean, they had a lot of options at 1.09.
A lot of options.
They went with,
I mean, I can think of probably both, at least 10 players before Jadon Blue. I can pretty comfortably say. Now, maybe a huge Cowboys fan, maybe got a little lost in the sauce on the opportunity there. It did not look good week one, obviously, with the not dressing.
Yeah, that wasn't great. And look, I'm someone who likes Jadon Blue. I drafted him in my home league in like round 3.
Yeah.
So like, I get the idea. It's just that's way too early. We do see some Cowboys and former Cowboys on this roster, so maybe they, you know, Dalton Schultz is here, Dak Prescott is here. So maybe we have a Phil Maffa is here. Maybe we have a Cowboys fan. But that's still, you gotta put that aside.
You got to. And then like a further head scratcher is amazing running back room currently. Yes. Well, maybe not amazing, but very, very good when we start off with Saquon Barkley, following it up with Christian McCaffrey. Kenneth Walker had a bit of a bad game, but we'll kind of see how that goes long term. Jalen Warren remains to be seen a little bit. And then Joe Mixon coming back from injury will offer some additional depth there. So can't say this team was screaming at need even at running back, whereas I'd argue they did need some help at wide receiver.
Yeah, only one. Well, Garrett Wilson in standard scoring is wide receiver 19, although I think he's better than that. And he certainly played better than that in week one. So we'll see if he can build on that performance. But Jalen Waddle, wide receiver 2 here. Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 3. Keenan Allen actually scored a touchdown. You know, I think there's interesting pieces here. It's just nothing feels like a safe start outside of Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, specifically, I think Cooper Kupp loses a tremendous amount of value without getting some PPR. I think that was really where he was going to be able to kind of hang on to fantasy relevance. Waddle, you just hope for some. You hope that Dolphins offense kind of finds something based on beyond the anemia that we saw for week one. I think you're right, Garrett Wilson with some touchdown upside if we see some of the Jets offense kind of continue to spark. Obviously, this team got devastated by George Kittle going down. Dalton Kincaid being the backup feels just like probably a huge relief, because I know a lot of Kittle owners who are spiraling this week, and at least your backup tight end looks like he's going to be a pretty prevalent part of that Bills offense.
Yeah, he's a nice piece to have here. Number 5 in total redraft A, number 4 in starter redraft A. This roster has some dark horse hopes. Number 2 running backs, plus the Kittle Kincaid tight end group. If wide receiver works out at all, if Dak can just stay healthy, boy, do they need Dak to stay healthy here, because...
Yeah, or Penix to ascend, because
right.
Tua's done.
Yeah, Tua, that whole Miami situation is pretty brutal at this moment. So, yeah, but this running back group, plus some of the other town here, Garrett Wilson, George Kittle, once he's back from injury, Dak, if he can stay healthy, this is a dark horse title contender. They have enough to compete.
For sure, and from the IDP standpoint, when you have Aiden Hutchinson and Micah Parsons, those are two guys that can just have game-breaking weeks on the DL. You're going to be starting both of them. A little bit needing in the safety position for a DB. Brandon Jones is not a heck of a whole lot, not someone I'd want to be starting with rosters this light. Ivan Pace and Spillane, you need to find a little bit of an improvement, though. But yeah, Hutchinson and Parsons going to be a big difference maker. Will Anderson coming in the future for you, going to be really good. So yeah, that all looks good. This team, I mean, we started off being like, hey, Jadon Blue, and then the owner's like, look at my team, I'm fine.
28.3 on the offensive side of the ball. Average starter rates, they are losing pretty significant dynasty value here. They fall to number 8 in the dynasty ranking, so that does push them down the power rankings. But again, they have a shot in 2025. I mean, the problem with the Blue pick isn't about 2025. The problem with the Blue pick is next year, the year after, et cetera, et cetera. 5.47 is the team score. Let's play this one. Asteroid field.
What are you doing? We're not actually going into an asteroid field.
They'd be crazy to follow us, wouldn't they?
Although having Tet or Igbuka or someone like that this year would have been good too. Number four, San Antonio Mauler. Oh, that was for losing between $25 and $50. Thanks for that. Number four, San Antonio Maulers. The number four total redraft value team, number three in starter redraft value. This roster led by the number three quarterback group, Jalen Hurts, J.J. McCarthy, Bryce Young, and the number three wide receiver group. Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, Mike Evans, and then it falls off to Jaden Reed as the primary backup. But that is, I mean, that is an awesome top three, especially for standard scoring. All of those guys are better in standard scoring than PPR.
Yeah, that's very nice, right? You got big yardage guys, big touchdown guys, not relying on those kind of seven catch, 65-yard games. That's very nice. I think the other thing kind of addresses this team was able to completely rework their running back room with a single trade and only sending out DK Metcalf and 111, picking up Breece Hall and then being able to take Marion Hampton at 102. Both those guys immediately locked in as starters, whereas previously it was J.K. Dobbins, Brian Robinson, maybe Tajay Spears or Jerome Ford. So just night and day. I mean, obviously won that trade pretty handedly in most people's minds. Yeah, that is just a phenomenal way to add to those wide receivers. That's a very good 1-2 punch now. Jalen Hurts at quarterback makes this team very interesting on a week-to-week basis. Do yeah, you feel okay you, about well, the rest of the team?
You mean outside of wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously I think the glaring weakness is tight end, right? And is that you survive?
Yeah, you can probably. I mean, Hunter Henry and even Zach Ertz are probably like you can play matchups with those guys and sort of survive. I mean, if Harold Fannin is going for like table scraps, then right. There's probably room to make a trade if they need to make a trade. You know, the interesting thing about running back here is that you can see like the vestiges on this running back group. Like they've been working
the
on this
shots
running
that
back.
Taken.
Yeah. you can see they've been working on this running back situation for a while. It just has not quite worked out. And then they suffer the Brian Robinson indignity this offseason. But that trade, it looks like it's going to solidify things for them. Let's see. 26.3 average starter age on offense. They're holding their dynasty value. They say at number four. For the dynasty ranking, Evans is losing tremendous dynasty value here, but it's offset by Hampton and Breece Hall gaining it back. Yeah, this is, and also Trey Harris at 3.07. All the wide receivers are going late, so it is what it is, but that's still a nice little selection there.
Yeah, it feels really nice. I mean, I think, yeah, didn't have a lot else outside of, yeah, and outside of the 102 with Hampton, so nice to see value fall to you after a huge weight in draft picks. And then for a team who's taking a kick at the can this year, I think, maybe sooner than they thought based on this running back trade. IDP is lacking a little bit based on our rankings, but I think it's fine. I mean, we have it ranked ninth, but on a week-to-week basis, I feel like you can really kind of slap together. TJ Watt obviously will have his amazing weeks. Brian Burns feels like he's going to be in that rotation enough, and that rotation is going to be more dominant than it has been, so you might see some sack upside. Logan Wilson and Bobby Wagner are an absolute fine duo. And then between Reed Blankenship and Minka Fitzpatrick, you'll probably do okay. Neither of them massive target monsters, but do get in the passing game for deflections and interceptions.
This is a fun overall situation here. 5.82 is the team score. Unfortunately, just the tumbleweed sticker. For having no other sticker, so sad, so boring. Number three, Gridiron Gumbies. Gridiron Gumbies. A late trade happened that I did insert and rerun some of the stats for because they traded for A.J. Brown. I actually didn't. Oh. I should have written the whole trade down. It was they traded for A.J. Brown. They gave up. I'm blanking. I can look it up real quick. I'll look it up before we get through. But yeah, the big story here is they added A.J. Brown in the trade. So definitely helps this wide receiver group, gets the number two, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams. They have Marvin Harrison Jr. as a projected starter. And Jameson Williams now on the bench, wide receiver 21.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. Rashad Bateman, Marvin Mims, like that is a very deep-looking group now. I think if they bought anywhere near low on A.J. Brown, that becomes amazing. If they end up paying, you know, just even market value. I think it's fine. AJ Brown's a bit of a frustrating own in a fantasy perspective, especially non-PPR. You're really kind of hoping for some touchdowns, but makes a lot of sense on a team that, you know, is dominant, is pushing. You're anchored by Josh Allen at quarterback with Drake May in the back, so you're feeling very good from that perspective. Obviously, Josh Allen probably won you your week last week. The big one for this team.
It was Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnston.
Okay. I can get on board for that. Yep.
Two guys who had huge week ones, right? Like, huge week ones, but you're selling kind of... So you're selling kind of high in theory.
Yeah, I mean, I want AJ Brown over Flowers for sure, and I dump Johnston as the piece out the door. I don't really think matters. I mean, we've seen enough of Johnston to know what he is. He has these big flashes. He has games where he has massive drops, and the Chargers are continuously looking to replace him. So yeah, I think that's a great trade for the owner. I think it looks good, and AJ Brown will have some big weeks. Probably ends up outscoring Zay Flowers pretty handedly. So that feels really good. Really old running back room with a huge question mark in Judkins. Is that this team's Achilles heel?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, on paper, it certainly is. Number 11 in redraft value at running back. It does jump up to number 9 thanks to the Judkins dynasty gain. But, yeah, no top 15 consensus redraft running back on the roster. They have to start at least one. Maybe Judkins can get there. He was supposed to practice today. It did not happen. There's, I guess, talk that he was actually in New York for a disciplinary hearing. I don't know. Maybe we'll get some clarity about his situation when he might see the field. That would be good here. Just to sort of know what's going on. I guess Kamara and Aaron Jones can kind of hold it down for the time being. But yeah.
I mean, both had good week ones, right? I mean, Kamara and Jones both found the end zone.
Sort of. Like, Jones's stats were good because he scored the receiving touchdown. The problem is he it looked like he kind of lost his gig as 1A over the course of the game. So that's
Mason really was flashing as well, right? Like, Mason looked like he was running aggressively and was making some bigger impact plays. So, yeah, you're probably right. He maybe has shifted into a 1B. Yeah, so you're really kind of hoping Judkins comes back for you, because I think that's really the only thing holding them back majorly. Evan Ingram and Kyle Pitts is probably fine with Mason Taylor waiting in the wings. That probably sneaks you past most weeks at tight end. I really want to believe that Kyle Pitts can put it together. He's tricked me so many times, and I saw just enough in week one to be like, maybe this is the year. Maybe Michael Penix figures it out. Maybe Kyle Pitts becomes a top 5 tight end.
One of my favorite team names we saw all year was the team was called Kyle Pitts Year 5 Breakout or something like that. I will mention Evan Ingram.
He broke out year one, Andy. He broke out year one.
I will mention Evan Ingram got hurt. His status for the game this week is iffy. It sounds like at least he was limited in practice, so I guess maybe the injury isn't too bad, hopefully, week to week. 28 years old per starter. We're definitely getting up there in age a little bit on offense. Luckily, the Judkins dynasty gain offsets some loss from Davante Adams. They just hold their dynasty value. They stay at number 3. This is another team that has some good bench options, a better bench ranking than starter ranking. Certainly, we talked about it, but wide receiver, the depth is really good. And Kyle Pitts, a tight end. And even Jones and Judkins at running back, adding some value there. Drake May at quarterback. So this is a team that should be able to sustain some injuries, live through some injuries, handle the bye weeks okay. They have the depth here. Overall, it's a pretty good situation.
Yeah, and IDP pushes them quite strong as well, right? We've got them ranked number 2, sitting on Myles Garrett. Roquan Smith is a real good 1-2 punch in your 2 starters. Kareem Curl is a fine safety. It'll be enough for you. Abdul Carter, Will McDonald is great depth. Zaire Franklin, you're feeling really, really good about. Abdul Carter, they paid up for pretty heavily. I think 210 is pretty expensive, even when you're getting the marquee IDP guy. Just because it's an easier position to fill than the offensive ones. But overall, when you're trying to, you know, when you're trying to win and you're trying to keep your elite IDP, it's something that you can kind of justify as a bit of a vanity pick. And it is working for this team. Very strong IDP crew.
6.01 is the team score. Let's play this one. Life moves pretty fast.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
for having the oldest projected starting lineup in the league. Josh Allen, 29. Alvin Kamara, 30. Devontae Adams, 33 now. So even though they have some young pieces like Marvin Harrison Jr., Jameis not starting, but Jefferson's still young at 26, but Evan Ingram, 31. So they have some young pieces, but too much age there pushes them to the oldest team in the league. Number two, Birmingham Blitz. The Birmingham Blitz. So this is the other side of the A.J. Brown deal. This is the team that picked up Quentin Johnston and Zay Flowers. This is also the other side of the Harold Fannin deal. So they pick up Harold Fannin. This is the other side of the Brian Thomas Jr. deal. They picked up Brian Thomas Jr. Other side of the Trey McBride deal. They picked up Trey McBride. Other than the A.J. Brown trade, I think every other deal looks better for this side.
Oh, yeah. I'm really happy to see that they lost one trade because they home run the other three. So kind of tough. Yeah. I mean, so this was the team that had Isaiah Likely only, turned it into Trey McBride and Harold Fannin. Huge win. Was sitting on AJ Brown, Xavier Worthy, turned it into Brian Thomas Jr., Zay Flowers. Less of a win, but still you get Brian Thomas Jr. should coming out with the best player there as well. So just bang bang. Now did lose 107 and 108. Won't take that away from them. Were sitting on three picks, only ended up using one, but did use the most important one, taking Ashton Jeantee at 101.
Yep, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches here, right? Like this is clearly a team that had a good year last year. They come in number two in total and starter redraft value, and they also happen to have the 1.01, which turns into Ashton Jeantee, which gives them the number three redraft running back group. It's actually the number one dynasty running back group. I mean, it's not just how good this team is. It's also the fact that the offense has an average starter age of 25.3. Like, they're picking up Brian Thomas Jr. He's coming in at 23 years old. This is, yeah, I don't know. This is, and Trey McBride obviously still young as well. It feels overpowering right now.
Yeah, and I mean, not to make the league even more sad, because they know this, but this is also a team that has increased future draft capital. They have an existing first of their own, plus one from One-Eyed Pug, which is a team we didn't talk about at the very beginning of the show, but was a team who's probably on the outside of the playoffs looking in. So a couple more boosts there coming in. I'd say the biggest kind of weakness on this team is they're going to probably lose some quarterback battles week in and week out against the Josh Allens, the Jalen Hurtses, and the Lamar Jacksons of the world. But when you're winning, definitely a tight end, most likely at running back, although I will say James Cook in a non-PPR is a little less exciting. Bucky Irving, we haven't seen a ton of. It's only been a one-year pop, so those couple could be. And Ashton Jeantee, I mean, that offense could end up being pedestrian. So it's our number one dynasty, and I can't argue that. But I could see in a redraft where things don't go perfect for this running back crew.
Yeah, running back is always a very fluid position anyway, unless you're talking about guys like Saquon and Derrick Henry, who seem to be just like year in, year out guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, there's not much of a track record with Bucky Irving. He didn't have necessarily the pedigree at some of the that some of the other elite running backs have. So there is some, like, you know, like, yeah, he's ranked top 10, but do we feel, is it a solid top 10 or is that more of a fluid top 10? We'll just have to see how this year does play out. Number three, future draft capital, as you mentioned, with the extra 26 first rounder. The only real weakness here, I mean, look, wide receiver technically is in the back half of the league, especially once you factor in the Xavier Worthy injury now. Of course, Flowers and Johnston looked really good in week one, so they might have a say here anyway, and Ioka's coming back at some point. That said, the real weakness, I guess, quote-unquote weakness, would be IDP, which is ranked number 8 in the league. Probably not bad enough to really impede whatever's going to happen on the offensive side, but not necessarily going to push them over the edge either.
No, I wouldn't say so. Yeah, I don't think it's I don't think it's going to hamstring them. It's not going to be the big difference maker for them, though. Trey Hendrickson looked good, obviously coming out of the holdout, looked fine. Nick Benito got a huge payday and immediately rewarded it with a sack. Yeah, Nick Cross, Deshaun Elliott, who got injured, leaves a little bit to be desired. But Ernest Jones, Jamin Sherwood is enough. Like, this is, even Cedric Gray came into a starting job. So Yeah, this IDP is even sneaky better than we've got it ranked, honestly. So, yeah, it's a tough one. This is a real good juggernaut for the now and the future. Tough one for other teams.
Yeah, I will say the one issue really for this team, if we're being honest, it has nothing to do with this team. It's the fact that the number one team is just far beyond them. There is one team clearly at the top.
There's a lot of players we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah. There sure are. 7.06 is the team score. Let's play that. Well, we don't have it. RML approved. Highest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus, which brings us to number one, the one who knocks. The one who knocks. Yeah, this is, I mean, I mentioned it before, $200 is your average offensive roster in this setup. This team comes in with $428 of consensus total redraft value. That's double, more than double an average roster, and it's well over $100 more than the number two team, Birmingham Blitz. It's their world. The world is their oyster, I guess you could say. Lamar Jackson, quarterback. It's number one quarterback group with Kyler Murray at number two. They picked up Cam Ward for fun at 1.12. I don't know why. They just
They picked up Jackson Dart for fun at 2.12. They literally were just flexing on the league. And they're like, I don't even need to pick players. I'm just going to take some quarterbacks, and here you go.
Maybe they just wanted to solidify the fact that they were number one at every position, and they needed to do that to get there. I don't know. Number one at running back, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Kyron Williams, Tony Pollard, Zach Charbonnet, who's definitely moved up. Wide receiver, number one in wide receiver value, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Jackson Smith, and an embarrassment of riches at wide receiver, George Pickens, Jerry Judy's here, Jordan Addison coming back from suspension, Diggs will never see the starting lineup. Josh Downs is here.
Jalen Coker. Kayshon Booty. That goes deep, man.
Tight end. Number one in tight end value. Brock Bowers. Travis Kelce. Yeah, this is... Not only that, all of those positions are number one in redraft value. Other than running back, they're all number one in dynasty value also. So, yeah, they lose some dynasty value. They fall $22 because of Derrick Henry mostly. A little bit from Lamar as well, but they are still far and away number one in dynasty value. I'm assuming this team either won or they had to be top two last year probably with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and Brock Bowers. They probably won. They are the clear favorite to win this year. I'm going to say right now they're the clear favorite to win next year. They're the clear favorite probably to win in 2027. Yeah, this is, until further notice, this is the team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, I will say they flubbed their draft, almost entirely. The quarterback picks are just, unnecessary. They could have been trying to find value other places. Jarquez Hunter at 3.8 isn't great. Jordan James at 3.12 isn't great. I like Arroyo at 4.12. So for the rest of you, anybody who's still listening, that's the one thing, is they took a step back with their draft this year, but... Unfortunately, really doesn't matter, because this is a bulletproof team as far as injuries go, as far as bye weeks go. I mean, you could argue that if Lamar goes down, Kyler Murray is questionable, but this team could probably lose any one of those kind of four positional advantages and it wouldn't make a huge difference. Tough one. IDP's not making a huge difference. They're winning this league, or they're trying to win this league with their offense. I mean, they kind of just own the Detroit Lions with Jack Campbell and Brian Branch. maybe they started Jalen Carter week one and he took a big fat zero for you guys. We can hope, although I think simply having Derrick Henry and Lamar probably won them the week, even with Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb being a little pedestrian. So... Yeah, all in all, great team. Not a lot to say.
Let's see. The one who I'm trying to find. Oh, yeah, they won week one. They were the second highest score.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're catchable.
They did start Jalen Carter. They got zero from Jalen Carter.
Hawk tool.
Yeah.
Idiot.
yeah, this team is just far and away the best. Although... look, any given week, we just saw in week one, they weren't the top scoring team, so I guess it could happen. 8.43 is the team score. Helmet stickers here. It's giving ick. Lowest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. Coca-Cola, top rated quarterback position. Porsche 911, top rated running back position. iPhone, top rated wide receiver position. Air Jordan's top rated tight end position. Let's play this one. Whew, there's a lot of stickers. Magazine dreams.
I won't let anything stop me from accomplishing this goal. 24 hours a day. There's no days off. We can't do this at 90% or even 99%. Take it from me. If you're not 100%, you will never be successful. You got to burn the boats and burn the bridges and commit all energy. That's what separates one from being a champion, one from not being a champ. Jump in the trenches, face the enemy. This is the most important thing I will ever do.
There you go. Top rated team gets the magazine dream sticker. We did it. We counted down. 12-2-1. Thank you so much to Golden Empire. Thank you so much to Rob for setting this all up. You can still follow me on Twitter at RateMyLeague. Blue Sky at Andy RML. Luke, how about you?
Blue Sky at Dynasty Diehard.
Have a great season. Good luck this year. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again in the future. Adios.